Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The hashtag Friday Football Fiesta is underway.
Come on, give me one. Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's Fridays. There's football Fridays, and then there's hashtag Friday football fiestas, like today. And joining us now, and I don't know if he's joining us alone. I don't know if the boys are showing up. I don't know what's going to happen here. I guess we'll find out. I got to tell you, Jarrell Hendricks, they tell me, and by they, I mean every football coach I've ever talked with, they say it's all about consistency. It's all about showing up. It's about executing. It's about doing it consistently and getting it right. Kevin showed up by himself last week. I didn't know who was showing up. And now you rolling solo this week. What is going on over at Moving the Chains HQ right now?
You know, right now we got a lot of going ons, you know, with work. So that's what's happening here. You know, we're stressed out, got things going on there, but that does not stop us from bringing excellent high school football coverage to people in the upstate and across the state of South Carolina. So it may not be all three of us at all the time, but we're going to make sure that at least one of us shows up, and we never let you guys down when it comes to talking about high school football in the Palmetto State.
All right. Hold on. This is heading for a triple threat cage match. I think that's what we're getting here, because they're not all on together. There's some animosity. The only way to work that out is in a cage.
Well, I think that would be great. We should do a cage match. You know, we do have our scuffles. We're family. But, you know, there's nothing that's going to break this team apart. Never going to happen.
I respect that, Jarrell. I also know where and how Kevin works. So I call bullcrap on the whole thing.
No. Kevin has an obligation. Kevin's also going to be burning up the road tonight, so he's going to be heading to the lower part of the state to provide some great coverage for those people. So.
Okay. Well, he can't be golfing. It's raining outside.
Not today. He's actually doing some work today, so yeah.
MovingChains.com. That is the website that you can find the boys at. You can also find them across all of social media at MovingChains. No G in that. That's not just Southern twang. There actually is not a G in Moving Chains. And, of course, the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever major podcasts are found. Jarrell Hendricks joining us here, the representative, the sole, the lone representative of the Moving the Chains podcast, joining us here on the show. My brother, let's jump right in with our list of football contests for the evening. And, of course, we'll start, as we normally do, with a game you will hear right here on the Fan of State, the lovely, dare I say beautiful, Cole Bryson on the call, play-by-play. The Dorman Cavaliers on the road at the Burns Rebels at Nixon Field. Tell me about it, Jarrell.
And I do. Let's stop there. You know, I want to give a shout-out to Cole and his crew there. Man, they do a fantastic job each and every week, sounding great over the airwaves. But this should be a fantastic ball game over there at Nixon Field. I mean, this is a pivotal game in that vaunted Region 2 of 5A there with Dorman and Burns. Man, I went back and forth all week during our show on who to pick for this one. I mean, it's going to be littered with talent on both sides of the ball, as both of these, you know, supporters of these teams know. Dorman comes in. They're going to want to run the football, play great defense. That's just their calling card. Coach Morris wants to do that. They're led by Nick Means on the ground. He's really getting it done. in Kentavian Polo Anderson on the back end will be playing at Clemson next year if they can keep it together. Had a huge win against Riverside last week to kick off their region campaign. And the Burns Rebels, of course, we know they're led by Chu Harris, Trey Segura, and Jacoby Fuller, just dynamic playmakers there. Kane Rogers is the one that makes it go. And then that defensive line with Justin Hopkins, man, Justice Hopkins, they really want to get after it. Also 3-1. Started off well with their win over Wade Hampton to kick off region play. I like Burns at home. That environment at Nixon Field is something special, the new Nixon Field. So if you're able to get over there and catch this one, should be a slobber knocker, should I say, guys. But I like the Rebs to win this one.
Do we have, John, and this is something that I could have looked at myself, but I didn't. Do we have any rain concerns in the air? We're looking out the window, and it's a crap day. I know it's supposed to kind of be lingering in some spots. Is this a game that could be impacted by that? And if it turns into a rain game, who would have an edge in it then?
I would go Dorman. I think it flips to Dorman in the run game there. I think I love how they are set up in the trenches. We saw Burns earlier this year against Irmo, and there was some, concerns. Obviously, they broke some big plays in that game with Chu and Trey, and even Jacoby had a kick return in that game that we were at. So I think in the trenches, I like Dorman a little bit better if this one is impacted by rain. But to win overall, I think Burns is the more talented team. I love to give teams that home field advantage, and that's something special over there in Duncan, and I like the Rebels to win it.
Fair enough. Let's get on to some of the other contests around the upstate with Jarrell Hendricks from the Moving the Chains pod. Let's go to Gaffney at Spartanburg.
Yeah, like this one as well. Another, just really, really pivotal matchup there in Region 2. Gaffney, they've kind of been working through some adversity all year, finally settled their quarterback situation. Javon Gilmore, I feel bad for the kid. He has, transferred, moved on, decommitted from Arkansas this week. But they have turned to Banks Boughton, who transferred in from Greenville High, as the quarterback there. They've dealt with a ton of injuries. Obviously, the coaching change there. But Gaffney sitting at 2-2, had a nice win last week. Finally got the offense going against Bowling Springs. But Spartanburg is also battle-tested. They have some tough losses to kick off the season against Northwestern and Dutch Fort, also sitting at 2-2. Played a slugfest against a really, really improved Eastside bunch. They're led by Trenton Lynch on the ground. They want to get after it, running the football as well. Don't ask the QB to do too much. Want to play some good defense. I like Spartanburg to win this game, and I think Spartanburg needs to win this game to kind of separate themselves and, bounce away from those slow starts that they've been having over the years.
Seneca on the road at Daniel.
Another good one. Very, very vital. Another one for Seneca. Getting over this Daniel hump is going to be tough, but I think this is the year that they're able to do it. Seneca sitting at 5-0, haven't played the toughest of competition, while Daniel is 3-1, and they are battle-tested. But this does not look like the same Daniel team that we're accustomed to seeing. Had to come back, huge comeback in the fourth quarter against Clinton last week. But they're led by Trey Wembley, Jace Grass. So they get it done on offense there. The defense for Daniel doesn't look as dominant as they have in years past, but I love this Seneca offense. Jeremiah Hunter, the sophomore receiver there, over 100 yards a game, 8 touchdowns receiving so far, and Amari Varner, over 107 yards on the ground per game this year. I think the Bobcats go into Singleton and win this one.
Let's go to Woodruff at Wren High School. I got a lot of respect for what Wren does down there, dude. That's just a gritty little school, and I love it.
I love it too, man. Wren is one of the better environments too. We usually get to see them, once a year, once every other year, and they do it right. They also do a great broadcast. So if you're not able to make it over there, check out their broadcast on YouTube. This is a fun one. You got a 3A matchup against 4A here. I like the Wolverines in this one. They have not skipped a beat. Love their running back, Aiden Gibson. They really get it done on offense there. Wren really needs to win this game, but I like Woodruff to take care of it.
All right, let's run through some of the other games around the upstate with Jarrell Hendricks from the Moving the Chains pod. JL Mann coming to visit our neck of the woods, taking on Greenville on the road.
Honestly, don't think this is going to be the best game. I think Greenville handles this one, but I wanted to highlight it because these two schools do Spirit Week better than anybody that I know. Raise, over $1 million usually for charities for the upstate. So that's why I wanted to highlight this game here, more so for the fan bases, the communities, and what these guys do, as a collective group to bring awareness to the upstate. But I think the Red Raiders take this game.
Okay, so real quick, like 30 seconds. tell me about this, because like when I was playing high school ball, and granted, this was a very long time ago, Jarrell, shut up. Nobody asked you. When I was playing my high school ball, Spirit Week for us was like, hey, wear pajamas to school on Rivalry Week or something like that. But I've been told like it's a huge deal around here.
Yeah, for sure. No, it was the same thing, man. A long time ago for me too, I was in student council, did goofy stuff in high school as well. You know, we're baking cookies and, you know, doing car washes and raising $5-$10 here and there. These guys are pulling in like corporate sponsorships. And really, I remember a couple of years ago, got Mark Wahlberg to stroke a big check, you know, for charities here. So I don't know how they get it done. Obviously, I went to Travelers Rest High School, so it's a little bit different up in those parts. But I love the fact that they do get it done and just bring awareness to an organization and just raise a lot of money. So it's awesome.
That's bad. I like it. That's great. Hillcrest at Greenwood.
Hillcrest coming off the tough one in that Golden Strip rivalry knocked off Malden again. I think they've run off about 15 in a row in that one. Greenwood actually coming off a tough loss to a really, really good T.L. Hanna bunch, lost by a point. They've been playing with fire the last few weeks, but I think Greenwood gets it done in this one.
Abbeville at Westside.
This is going to be a fun game. Keep your eyes peeled on this one. Upset alert here. Abbeville, 1A school, perennial power. Doesn't matter what's on the back of the jersey. It's what's on the front. These guys just roll in talent year in, year out. Westside down. They have played some really, really tough competition, especially out of state, but they do not look very good this year. Would not be surprised if Abbeville went over there and won that football game.
Eastside at Boiling Springs.
Eastside so improves. Can't be more impressed with Lucas Tankersley, the running back, linebacker there. Just does everything for them. Bowling Springs replacing a lot of pieces, especially on offense, and some really vital coaches as well. I like Eastside Eagles to win this football game.
Malden at T.L. Hanna.
Malden, again, coming off that tough one last week, but I love what Coach Cook is doing here with this Mavs program. They seem to be very much improved. Unfortunately, they're going up against T.L. Hanna. I think the Yellow Jackets are hitting their stride. Lost in week zero to Burns. Kind of got, beat up pretty bad, but they've been running them off ever since. This is a top five caliber team in T.L. Hanna, and they're really, really good.
And we'll wrap it up with Hampton County at Christchurch.
This is a fun one. Hampton County coming from the lower part of the state. A really, really good 2A program. These guys are big. Christchurch, we know what they can do. A perennial power here in 3A in the upstate. This should be a fun, fun ball game. I think Christchurch is a little bit better, but they will be tested. I give them advantage. That's a long road trip for Hampton County, about 3 or 4 hours to come up here and play in the upstate. But I like the Cavs in this one.
Keegan wants to know whose Nana kidnapped you and brought you to the living room there.
I am at a graduate hotel. So if you've ever stayed at one of those, you know the decor. You know the motif.
Not calling out or anything, but it's a great point. Jarrell Hendricks.
Wait, what's a graduate hotel? I've never heard of that before.
A place. The place. It's a place.
Yeah, we're not giving them any airtime.
Like that's the name of...
Oh, okay. I thought it had to do with the
no, not like JRL's graduated or anything like that. That's the name of the place.
All right.
I am graduated.
However, if you want to,
congratulations.
If you want to feel like you're sleeping in the in your granny's basement from going up, JRL got a suggestion for you. Is what we're saying here?
Just let me know. They give my company a discount. That's why I'm here.
Find Kevin, John, and Jarrell at movingchains.com, at movingchains across all the social media. And the podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google. Make sure you are following them because they also go live wrapping up Friday nights with scores and stats from around the entire state of South Carolina. My man, good to have you back in the fold. Jarrell, appreciate you, big dog.
Hey, appreciate you guys for having me on. Hopefully I can round up the other guys and we'll be here next week.
Yeah, we're fine without him. You can do it. You're killing it.
I appreciate that, guys.
Jarrell Hendricks from the Moving the Chains podcast. When we come back, Denton Day host College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. He will join us and give us his thoughts on the college football weekend upcoming, some of the potential upsets we have talked about, a couple of interesting games happening tonight. We'll get Denton Day's thoughts on all of it next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio, rolling ever closer to a college football Saturday. Here's the best part about college football Saturday. Two things. Number one, it actually starts tonight because we've got, I think, a couple of interesting games on the docket for a Friday evening. We're going to get to that. The second best part about college football Saturday is getting to discuss it with a man, a myth, a legend, an icon, a titan of the industry. He is the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. He is also a host and producer on the BetMGM Network, and he's also my friend, Denton Day, joining us here on the show. What up, big dog?
What up, gangster? Called a little audible this week. I appreciate your flexibility, but I feel like this is better anyway because we're much closer to games and we actually have fun ones on a Friday, so it's perfect.
I got to tell you, I don't mind moving it to Friday if you want, because not only is it, you know, it's not that it's fresher, it's just the anticipation not building up as much, and I got interviews the last like three segments in a row, so it's like easier for me. So whatever
you're
you want.
Skating off into the weekend, yeah. Easy breezy.
Yeah, it's the best. Let's talk some college football, buddy, and let's jump right in. With a game, there are, I think, two tonight that are relatively interesting. The first in the ACC with Florida State on the road at Virginia. The line kind of tripped me up a little bit. It's only FSU minus 6.5, but I also feel like I'm kind of getting trapped here. Why? Because I know Florida State has not been on the road yet. This is the first road test. Virginia was expected to kind of be a rollover opponent. Tony Elliott's kind of got the boys playing a little better than we expected. There's a lot of moving pieces here. But I also look at a team that beat Bama, dropped 70 on the heads of two in a row. Yeah, they're on the road, but like, how is Florida State only a 6.5-point favorite here?
I think it's respect to UVA and their offense. You know, Chandler Morris has been really, really good for them this year, but you do have to add a small caveat of, hey, listen, they haven't played anybody. You know, UVA has not seen anyone that is going to have the kind of speed that Florida State has and the speed that they have at every single position, because there's not a position on that defense. We talked about this, Rob. That was the biggest takeaway from that Bama game. I know that was weeks ago now at this point, but they were so fast everywhere. So I'm going to be really interested to see how a team like UVA, who, again, hasn't really played anybody of note, is going to be able to handle that speed and then adjust to that speed. I think they're a really, really good team, Florida State is, but that line, it struck me immediately. I think I'm actually riding UVA 7.5 because there has to be something up there. Everything in my brain says that this should be a much larger line. It's not like Charlottesville is a tough place to play. It's a nice stadium. It's beautiful, beautiful area, but it's not exactly a tough place to play. So I think that they, I think UVA might be able to keep it close with Florida State. It's a look-ahead game. They got Miami next week. They're focused on that.
That's fair. Game Day announcing that they're going to be in Tallahassee for the first time since Kirk Herbstreit talked the committee out of putting Florida State in the playoffs. So I'm sure he's going to have a grand old time there in Tallahassee, Florida. We will find out. Yeah, this one's interesting to me. Let's go over to the other game taking place at 9 o'clock tonight, TCU at Arizona State. TCU, a top 25 team. Arizona State favored by 3.5 at the crib. Kind of a pick 'em game here. This feels like a game where Arizona State needs to make a statement of either we're here or just go ahead and announce we're not.
You're either here or take a seat at the back of the classroom. Like you're done. You're not at the front of the line anymore. And there are teams that have now jumped you. They had all the momentum coming in to this year from last year. You return your quarterback. There were a lot of things moving in their direction. And that Mississippi State game was a weird one, Rob. We all watched it at the end of it. Well, maybe we didn't because there was other games going on. But we saw the end of that one. And you're like, wait, they gave up what to Mississippi State? They came back and then they what? Like, how did that work? I think it's going to be this is going to be a knockdown dragout one. This to me looks like it's going to be a fun. You want to talk about Big 12 after dark? This is a Big 12 after dark game. Kicks off at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I think you're going to see a lot of offense from both sides. And I got Arizona State laying 3.5. I think they're going to get back on track. And I think we're going to be on a collision course a triple threat collision course, if you will, with Arizona State, Iowa State, and Texas Tech to decide who are the two teams that are going to be playing for the Big 12 championship.
You subscribing to all this Texas Tech stuff?
I'm subscribing to the amount of money that they paid. I don't know if I think they're awesome, but I know they're paying to be awesome. And I think that's a big deal.
Okay, I need to know. I think that's a big deal. In a I hate it kind of way, or a I don't care kind of way, or a welcome to college football in 2025 kind of way.
I like it because anyone can do it now at this point. You just either got, you got to be really nice to the dorks at your school. Like this should be an anti-bullying cry across college football. You got to be really nice to the nerds that are going to be like hedge fund CEOs. They're going to have a lot of money so you can get that defensive lineman that you really want.
Don't bully the nerds because you never know when they're going to be able to buy your five-star quarterback.
Exactly.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, that wide receiver who's 6'6"? Yeah, I want him. Go get him $1 million.
I respect it. All right, let's go kind of skip around a couple of other games over the weekend. Brad Evans asked me about this one on Tuesday night. I ask it about you. On one hand, I think Indiana's the real deal. On the other hand, Indiana beating Illinois by 50 freaking three is stupid. I want to believe that USC is back, that finally Mr. Riley got it together out there in Hollywood, California, and we're going to see them on the way back up, but I don't believe it. What do I make of this USC-Illinois game?
You should lay the points with USC. It's not even that USC is that good. I don't really think they're that good. I don't think Lincoln Riley is all that spectacular anymore. But if you're just looking at it from how is Vegas setting the line, and maybe I'm looking too deep into this, but generally speaking, and we've seen this with other teams this year, when a ranked team loses, Vegas loves a bounce back because they're going to think that the public is going to be all off of that particular team. So the fact that Illinois is a 6.5-point dog at home in what should be like prime bounce back territory means that USC should theoretically mop the floor with them. And again, I don't like USC. I think Lincoln Riley has a very punchable face. I think it's kind of lousy that they have to go out publicly and be like, hey, please come to our football games. But because of that, I do think they're going to try and run it up a little bit if they have the opportunity to. They need some style points to generate some of that buzz. So I do think USC wins. I think they win pretty comfortably.
All right. What are we doing with Notre Dame? They played, I think, the hardest two-game schedule out of the gate of anybody in college football. They go 0-2. However, they are Notre Dame, so they stay at 24. They're on the road at Arkansas this weekend. Arkansas is kind of one of those mid-tier SEC teams. I'm like, I could see them taking a step in either direction, positive, negative, good or bad. I don't know what to make of that team yet. If Notre Dame loses this game, they drop to 9-3. I got to assume the playoff race, although you and I have both agreed, there's a 9-3 team somewhere in the playoffs this year as a possibility.
Right.
Is Notre Dame a candidate to be that 9-3 team?
Nope.
Okay.
That 9-3 team just had a quarterback have surgery on his hand. That's the 9-3 team. It's going to be Oklahoma. You have to have a gauntlet of a schedule to justify getting in as a 3-loss team, which Notre Dame does not. And if they start losing to teams, you lose to Texas A&M. Okay, sure. Crazy game in the context of it. That was nuts. Whatever. You lose to Miami. All right. Week number one. Whatever. You lose to Arkansas in late September. You're just not that good. So forgive me for plagiarizing a very Southern phrase. I'm not from the South, but I'm going to try my best here. I'm going to throw them out with the bathwater. I don't need Notre Dame right now. Nothing about them entices me at the moment outside of what their brand is. But I grew up with more than just 4 television channels. So I never was like a massive – like that's why Notre Dame is such a big deal. I did not get sucked into that. I like other teams. I'm kind of good on Notre Dame. I like Marcus Freeman a lot. I think he's a really, really good coach. But this is – you don't schedule particularly tough for the entire season. You just kind of front load the schedule. So when you start losing to teams like in Arkansas, potentially, that you should destroy, I don't see why that should justify you getting into the playoffs. So if they lose this one, I don't want to hear any more about Notre Dame this year.
I would like to throw out something I just found that I find very interesting here, Denton Day, because I spent all week long saying, I think the LSU Tigers are overrated. I spent all week long saying, I think Ole Miss, this Trinidad Chambliss guy, might have found a little dog there, might have found their little Lenora Sellers, their little Cam Newton down there in Oxford, Mississippi. And I spent all week saying, give me Ole Miss in the upset. I'm falling for Lane Kiffin's bull crap again. Give me Ole Miss and the Rebels. And now I go, look, and Heidi Ho, would you look at this? The Rebels are -1.5, Denton Day.
Yes, that line's been that way for at least 2 days because I jumped on it as soon as I saw it move that direction. And I was like, I need to get on this before it gets a little out of control. Like, I do think there is a potential, or maybe it goes to 2.5 or potentially 3. 3 might be a little insane by the time we kick off. But Trinidad Chambliss is, one, a dude. And he's also playing with house money. You know, when he beats LSU this weekend, which he will, when he beats LSU this weekend, you're going to get a lot more information on him as like a person. The guy was playing D2 football last year, and now he's starting in the SEC. That's asinine. And he's not just starting, he's thriving in the SEC. But really, if you just want X's and O's stuff, he presents a problem for LSU that they haven't really dealt with, which is a quarterback that has legitimate mobility and will use that mobility. Kate Klubnik has mobility. We know what that Clemson offense is at this point this season. It's not very good. DJ Lagway is not exactly a mobile quarterback. So LSU's defense, while they have looked really, really good, and they are a good defense, having the challenge of dealing with a quarterback that can throw and run and isn't afraid to do either is going to really put some pressure on that offense. And that offense hasn't been very good against quality competition. You can beat up the teams that you're paying $1 million to and hang 50 on them sick. But what are you doing against actual competition? And I am still waiting on a little bit more from LSU. I think Ole Miss wins this one, Rob, and I think Chambliss looks really, really good in the process.
I think that's great. I also think it's great that you brought back the word sick. I think that needs to get back into the rotation here. Let's jump down a couple of more interesting thoughts. Penn State, Oregon, obviously, I think highlight game of the weekend, 7:30. And then Alabama, Georgia. I'm kind of thinking upset in both of those games, didn't they? Like, I don't know if I'm just looking for some drama to get excited about because I'm normally not that guy. But I think Dante Moore can go outdo Drew Aller at Penn State if he can get over the environment. And I think the Crimson Tide had something woke up in them a little bit after that Florida State loss. What do you make of those two games of the day?
So I feel a little bit more comfortable with Alabama because they are not afraid of playing in Georgia. It's not to say that Oregon is, but a whiteout is insane. I've never been to one. Unfortunately, I'd like to go to one. It is a completely different environment. And I don't really think, I mean, unless you're like practicing in a classroom with nothing but fluorescent lights on, which I don't think Oregon is, but maybe they are. I don't know how you can simulate that at night. The gravity of seeing 110 they fit in there? 110,000 people in all white. It has to be a blinding set of circumstances. Now, with that said, Penn State starts slow, and they start slow against bad teams. So what are they going to do against good teams? And if they're going to put the pressure on Drew Aller and say, hey, Drew, you're a quarterback, we trust you, go win us the football game, we're going to ask you to make a bunch of big throws, and you are going to be our Superman, they're going to lose. You need to run the football. You need to take as much pressure off of Drew Aller as possible and then allow him to, when necessary, make a couple of big throws. If he makes 3 big throws, they're probably going to win that football game, Rob, if that's all they're asking him to make. If they're asking him to make 10 big throws, they're in trouble. I really like Dante Moore. It's just I'm going to be very cautious about how he is going to perform in the whiteout because that is a legitimate, scary, scary environment if you've never been in it. And on the other side, Ty Simpson looks really good, man. Like they have used what happened against Florida State as a positive, and they've gotten him into a little bit of a rhythm. So that, I think, is going to be a showdown. I think you get a coach in Kirby Smart that is a genius, and then you have Kalen DeBoer on the other side who is starting to feel a little bit of the pressure. I don't know if that one lady is going to buy him out now if they win the lottery, if they beat Georgia, so maybe he can secure his job.
Fair enough. I like the upset in both. Denton Day from college football, overtime on Sirius XM. Real quick, 30 seconds. Clemson, what do you make? 30 seconds. South Carolina, what do you make after both of them take L's last weekend?
Yeah, South Carolina loss was tough, man. I thought they kind of pulled one over with the Lenore Sellers ended up playing. I thought they were going to be able to pull away with one. I think Missouri's actually a pretty decent
I think Missouri's team. A pretty good team, dude.
Yeah, I think Bo Prebble is onto something. So I think by the end of the season, they'll be feeling way more comfortable. Clemson won't be. I mean, that is a disaster. I don't know. I have a lot of respect for Dabo. Like, I can do the bird's eye view thing. I have a lot of respect for Dabo and what he's done at that program. I don't know how you can justify what's happening to that program right now. It is terrible. He needs a massive reevaluation period.
I don't think it's unfair. I don't think that's an unfair take at all. Denton Day hosts college football overtime on Sirius XM Radio. He also hosts and produces on the BetMGM Network. You can find him on X at the Denton Day, and you can find him in our hearts. Denton, you icon. Thank you, brother.
All right, fellas. See ya.
You're the best. Denton Day from SiriusXM, the BetMGM Network, and just a all-around good dude. Appreciate him coming by. Usually on Wednesdays, we might be moving Denton to Fridays. Friday vibes are high late in the show, so it's nice to have him as a part of it. When we come back, Lonzo and I look at some of the games we haven't picked. You heard us make a couple of them there. We look at our NFL schedule and make some picks there as well. We wrap up the hashtag Friday Football Fiesta next on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
My brain's not on right now. What am I listening to?
It's just it's a.
Is this not a theme song or something?
No, it's just called Hat Trick. It's like, to me, it's like a mix of Elton John and Survivor.
No, I for some reason in my head I'm like,
it should be a montage while they're, you know, prepping for a big fight.
This should be something. This should be something. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Thank you very much to our esteemed colleagues and guests today on the show. We appreciate it. Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast, Jarrell Hendricks from the Moving the Chains podcast, and of course, the illustrious Denton Day from SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. Because I said I would keep you updated, we are through right now. 11 holes for our leading group. Bryson DeChambeau, Justin Thomas have given back a pair to John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton, who now find themselves up 1 through 10. They are on 11 at this point, and it looks like they're the opportunity here for DeChambeau and Thomas to potentially get one back if they can knock this one down. I'm waiting on the little scoreboard to update because I was doing the show and not paying attention to what the score of the golf tournament is.
You were so hyped morning, and now they're letting you down, and I'm sorry about that.
A lot left to go. Here's the stat that they just flashed on the board that has got me out of sorts right now. Rory McIlroy has 5 birdies on the day. Team USA as a whole has 7. There are 4 teams out there for the Americans, and Rory McIlroy has 2 fewer birdies right now than the entire team. Scheffler and Henley right now down 4. And so making a putt there, I believe this will be to have the hole. So we will stay 4 down there. McIlroy and Fleetwood up 4 on our guys. Morikawa and English, the only match we do not trail in. Schauffele and Cantlay are up 1 on McIntyre and Victor Hovland. So right now, 3-1 Europe. Of course, no points are turned in until the round is over. But the Americans, not the start they wanted. Got real hot out of the gate. I don't know if it is like Scotty Scheffler came out world number one, get his ass kicked, and I think it just all kind of started falling apart.
So I have a major question for you. We know the Ryder Cup captain for the USA decided not to play. Is he regretting that?
I don't know. It's a tough spot for Keegan Bradley because on I get it. We talked very briefly about it, but I get it. I get that spot in that if you pick yourself and you go out there and you stink and the team loses, you're the scapegoat, right? Like, you're the guy. Fair or not, you're the guy. If you go out there and you kick ass but the team loses, they're still going to say, well, if you would have been captaining, you played, like, you could have dialed in, whatever. There's one way that turns out good for Keegan Bradley, which is you play, you kick ass, and your team wins. You have to pull all three out of the bag, and that's a tough spot. I get him not wanting to play. Does he mash the panic button? And by the way, like, no reason, even if you go down 3-1, it is not ideal. Give yourself a lot of work to do. It's not, like, you're not done. You can come out this afternoon, play 4-ball, get a couple of points back. 4 points available in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. Like, you can come back today, and as individuals, maybe some of your guys go out there and light it up, and we can get some of those points back. So not panic. I think at this point, down 3-1 with the first group, the furthest group out, finishing up 11 right now, I think your goal is to finish this 2-2, no worse than 3-1. Try to do the same to them in 4-balls later on this afternoon and see what we can get to. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get to some thoughts real quick. We have given you some of the big games that we've got this weekend. Very quickly, Lonzo, Oregon, Penn State. I'm taking the dogs. I'm taking the Oregon Ducks on the road. Penn State only favored by 3.5 at home. That's a pick 'em game.
Yeah, I'll go with Penn State there.
Penn State at the crib. I this is probably silly, and I think Denton Day was doing his best to talk me out of it without telling me, Rob Brown, you're an idiot in the last segment.
Dude, the whiteout scares me. Anytime Ohio State plays there and I know it's a whiteout, it scares me to death. So I don't understand why people wearing white is so significant, but it does – it absolutely it causes an atmosphere that's unbelievable. It can only be done in college football.
It just makes the stadium brighter. Like, are the Nittany Lions telling me that they are somehow vocally enhanced by wearing white shirts?
I think the fans get louder. I absolutely do.
I don't know, man. I think you're just louder because it's nighttime and you're hammered. I'm good with that. I don't know. Like, maybe it's just I'm overthinking it. Here's what I do think. I'm all in on Dante Moore. I think Dante Moore is a future Heisman Trophy winner. That's how good this is. Not this year. Maybe this year. Not this year. Maybe this year. Not this year. I think it's coming down the pipe, though. I think he's that good. And I think Drew Aller's not. And I think he outzoots them. Alabama at Georgia. You were out on Bama. Georgia's only favored by 2.5 at Athens, meaning Vegas thinks Alabama's a better football team.
Yeah, I still got Georgia.
See, I'm going Bama on the road. Give me a bunch of road upsets this weekend. I like. I'm going on the record right now with Penn State over Oregon. I'll scratch that. Oregon over Penn State. I'm going on the record with Alabama over Georgia. I was really excited because I'm like, yo, wire to wire, pick up a bunch of points, doing a bunch of upsets. I'm really not. Like, all the dogs are only dogs by, like, 2.5, 1.5 points. That's wild to me. That's wild to me. That's a crazy number. South Carolina, Kentucky.
I'm definitely going Gamecocks. I think they bounce back. I think they learn how to play defense again. I think that they actually run the ball on Kentucky. I think Kentucky is what it should be. I know last week I was doing the whole Vanderbilt thing. I was just joking around, and man, that came back to bite me. But in this case, Kentucky is a get-right game. And I do agree with you and Joe and several people on the stream. If they lose against Kentucky, this season is over for sure. They're not going to, though.
I said this morning, I said yesterday. I'll say it again now. This is, and Joey B just trimmed up on exactly, literally to the word what I said this morning, this is the most must-win game of the Beamer era. This is the must-win game for this season, and I'm going to keep it a buck. This might be the game that determines if Shane Beamer is on the hot seat next year. This game. Because if he loses this game, I don't know that outside of Coastal Carolina, I don't know that there's another team on the schedule I pick South Carolina against, or even bet him to cover against. And I include Clemson on the road. I include Clemson, at home. I do not know.
Say Clemson might do some things to make you change your mind before that.
We'll see. As of today, if you lose this game to Kentucky, I will not. Forget picking on the air to make me look like a big smart boy or whatever. I'm talking about with my money, the picks that count. I don't know that there is another game that I will see you as even a potential winner with the exception of Coastal Carolina. And even that one, I'll be like, meh, toss up at that point. This game determines your record at the end of the year. If you lose this game, I absolutely do think it is very possible that you could end this season, I don't know, 3-9. Genuinely. You could end this season 3-9. Get the win over Coastal, lose to everybody else. 4-8 with a win over Clemson. If they go 4-8, but they beat Clemson at the end of the year, is Shane Beamer on the hot seat next year? I got to say yes, right? With Lenore Sellers on the bench, with Nick Harbor, with the team they've got, if he goes 4-8, I do not care if you beat Clemson. That's got to be a hot seat loss, right?
Yeah, but I think a lot of other people care if they beat Clemson. Because how many years in a row would that be?
Yeah, but I think it's a lot different to beat Clemson and feel good about it when your team is like a perennial 6-6, 7-5 team. It's a different world when you expected to be 9-3, 10-2.
I think anytime you beat your rival, you feel good about it.
Didn't say not feel good about it. Saying it doesn't eclipse the totality of what a bleep show of a season, right? Like that's the response to me. We barely even got to any NFL today. That's on me. That's my bad. Any crazy games this weekend I'm looking at?
I think the big game is Kansas City and Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, one of them is going to end up being 1-3. Yeah.
I don't know, Zoe. The Jets are at the Dolphins on Monday night. That might be it. Green Bay at Dallas. Micah Parsons Bowl. What do you make of that? Micah has been complaining about the fact that
look at what happened to Dallas last week. I mean, if he has a good game against Dallas, does it really matter?
Entertainment value only. Like, could you imagine him knocking Dak to the dirt like 15 times? Here's the thought. Micah Parsons has been saying for the past week and a half, he's like, yo, Green Bay's limiting my snap count. I'm ready to go, but Green Bay's holding me back. I think Micah Parsons is playing every damn snap against the Dallas Cowboys. I think this, like, they've been limiting the snap count to have him 100% for this game. He is 100% for this game. Turn Micah loose and let's entertain ourselves, shall we? Saints at Buffalo. The Bills are favored by 15.5. Take them to cover.
That's all?
Take them to cover.
Wow. It's okay. All right. Let's get to what to X, and that might make you feel better. It may not. I don't know. All right. The first thing it's Xing is Cam Newton.
Cam Newton is Xing because Cam Newton had some criticism, I think justified and valid, of Tua Tagovailoa not too long ago. Tua Tagovailoa yesterday at a press conference answered and said, I'd like to see anybody from off the streets come out here and play NFL quarterback. Cam's killing it in the media thing, but I'd like to see him play NFL quarterback. It's on YouTube, bud. It's on YouTube. I got to tell you, this is going to sound like a joke. It's not meant to be. This immediately, the first thought I had was like, Tua's head really is in trouble.
Yeah.
This Cam Newton,
yeah,
dog.
I mean, he set records his rookie year.
He went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he went to the Super Bowl. He was a really good quarterback. And Tua, you're not. Not right now. I mean, put Tua's stats and wins up against Cam's stats and wins at the same point of their career, and you might want to just be quiet, Tua. If you put Tyreek Hill on the field with Cam Newton,
I am very much fine for Tua Tagovailoa to fire back at jackasses like me who have never played NFL. You are firing back at a guy who was distinctly and clearly a quarterback in the NFL. I'd like to see Cam play quarterback. It's on YouTube, dog. It's on YouTube right now. You can go look at it.
All right. The next thing that's Xing is Fleetwood Mac.
I really thought you were going to say, is Cam Newton. I don't know why Fleetwood Mac is trending. I will very simply say Fleetwood Mac's amazing.
All right. It is trending, and you're going to love this. Here's why it's Xing. Or you won't, actually. Split that up and think about what we're watching right now. It has been, apparently,
don't bring me down.
It's been, ooh. Fleetwood Mac has been said so
Fleetwood
many times.
Fleetwood McIlroy, yeah.
That people are talking about making a drinking game out
McIlroy
of it.
McIlroy and Fleetwood are out there together. Also, four up on Morikawa and English, which I told you was the worst pairing on the group. Scotty Scheffler's down 4-11. DeChambeau and Thomas, who got out to the hot start, are now down 2-12. The only lead we have is Shoffley and Cantlay, 1-9, and they are about to potentially... Okay, this is, let's see, English Morikawa, they miss, so we're not going to win the hole there. Could have got one back, but Morikawa misses the putt. Our putting sucks. It is all on the green. Everything we're giving up, all on the green right now. If you can't putt, you can't win. Yeah!
Speaking of suck, I guess. Marvin Harrison Jr. is Xing right now.
Okay. He looked awful in that football game last night.
He did get a touchdown, right?
Until he didn't look awful in the football game anymore and got a touchdown. He had like a good screen out of the gate, like 9-yard pickup. He read the blocks. And then he sucked for like 2.5, 3 quarters. And then he came alive at the end of that football game, which, by the way, what a freaking football game that was last night. Kyler Murray leads a game-tying touchdown drive. Scores with 28 seconds left to play. Seattle gets the ball back. Sam Darnold turns into like prime Joe Montana.
By the way,
drive Seattle back down the other way.
Sam Darnold also Xing. That was where I was going.
Should be. And honestly, Kyler Murray should be Xing too.
I've seen a lot of another reason why he's Xing, people showing how good the quarterbacks who Matt Rhule gave up on.
Yeah. It's pretty spectacular. Baker, Sam Darnold. It's a good vibe. Yeah, that was a good game last night. Late game. I did not stay up to watch the end. I got up and finished it up this morning. Spectacular contest. The first Thursday night game of the year that I go to bed early turns out to be the best Thursday night game of the last, 2 years.
All right, last one. AJ Styles is Xing.
John Cena keeps teasing that we're going to get a Cena-Styles match on his retirement tour, which is the only good thing that would have happened on his retirement tour so far.
AJ, by the way, saying he will retire in 2026.
Maybe they won't screw his retirement up run like they've screwed John's.
It's a matter of opinion.
Is there anybody who thinks the Cena retirement run has been good?
I'm good with it. I'm good with it. So are a lot of those fans who are there see Cena. Yeah.
Nah, bruh.
You said if there's anybody, I just gave you an example.
Okay, that's fair. That is what I said. Way to take it literally. Thanks for being here, people. Enjoy your Friday. Do not drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. We'll see you back here on Monday. Break down the football weekend. That is all Ryder Cup. See you Monday on the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.